Welcome to Springboard, sparking real conversations where you learn answers to the questions you didn't know you had about relationships or the things you may have wondered about but were too afraid to ask. We take a dive deep into uncharted waters, provide insight, and promote defining your own relationship while you get to participate in the capacity you choose. Whether that's just listening, taking notes, or contemplating a change in your life, we're here to offer a safe space to explore murky topics and jump into the conversations we all sometimes avoid so we can grow together to make change. We'd like to thank our generous sponsor, Capcom, for funding this podcast. Their commitment to nurture the community and improve lives of families resonates strongly with our mission, and we are incredibly proud to have such an amazing community support. In this episode, we invite a former Wellspring employee to tell her rendition of a client's story inspired by the types of things we hear. The holidays can be a difficult time for some, and we're hoping this story can be one of inspiration. Happy holidays from the Wellspring team to you and yours.
If you had told me 5 years ago that I would be sitting here telling you this story and the way it turned out, I wouldn't have believed you. 5 years ago, on the day before Thanksgiving, my daughter arrived on my doorstep with a black eye, a broken rib, and her two kids and nothing except the clothes on their back. And my heart broke. I hadn't seen my daughter in 12 years. I talked to her every week on the phone, but I hadn't seen her since the last major dust-up with her father. But I could read between the lines of our conversations, and I knew she had married a man just like I had. Mean, controlling, sarcastic, and definitely not supportive. I wasn't sure what her father was going to think when I invited her in, but for some reason he didn't object. And I remember thinking to myself, maybe he has changed. But he hadn't. I had changed. I had become somebody who was better at keeping quiet, keeping a low profile, not creating a fuss. So Thanksgiving was okay, but 2 weeks later, it happened. The kids were just being kids. They were enrolled in school now, and they were happy to have friends, and this was the weekend, and just running around the house excited about Christmas. We were putting up the tree, and all of a sudden, all hell broke loose, and he was yelling and screaming. And that's when I saw it. I saw the fear on my daughter's face, the same fear she had as a little kid, but worse. I saw the fear on my grandchildren's face. And I felt this horrible combination of understanding and anger and sorrow and real shame that somehow or another, I has not been able to protect them from this. The next day, when they went to school, and my daughter went to apply for a job as a CNA, she had a certificate, I went to visit my friend Anna. Anna lived around the corner from me, and we had been friends for decades. She belonged to some group called the Soroptimists. It was some women's group. And she used to say to me, you know, if you need to leave, you can come here. But I couldn't. She lived like 10 houses away from ours. I knew that wasn't far enough. But she used to talk to me about Wellspring all the time. She taught some class they had, money class, Hope and Power, about financial literacy. And she even encouraged me to go, but I knew there was no way I could get out of the house to do that. But this day, Anna took one look at me, and I burst into tears. And when I finally got done crying, she said, "Is it okay if I make that phone call now?" "Yeah," I said. And so she did. She called and she handed me the phone. She said, "You don't have to tell him your name. Just tell him what's going on." And she left the room. And this advocate at Wellspring listened and listened and listened for I don't know how long. But I know when I got done with that conversation, I felt like I had someplace I could actually go talk to someone about what was going on in my life. And so I did. At first, for the first, oh, I don't know, 3 or 4 visits, I went by myself. I didn't tell my daughter what I was doing, and then finally I did. By now, it was mid-January, and life at our house was miserable. I couldn't figure out how we would leave. My daughter's salary as a CNA wasn't going to support us, and she wasn't getting child support yet because she hadn't let her husband know where she was. She was too afraid to do that. Then both of us went to the legal clinic. And after 2 different conversations with the attorneys, we realized what our rights and responsibilities were about money and possessions and what we could and couldn't do. And that helped a lot. But it became really clear in our conversations with our advocates, we each had our own, that we were going to have to leave. And the only way to do that was to go into shelter. And I couldn't imagine doing that with my daughter and my grandchildren. And then February came, and things got so much worse. And it was really clear we had to leave, and the shelter was full. But our advocates started talking to us about planning, and so we did. We packed what we would need, and we took that to Anna's house. We sold every single thing we could sell in that house and squirreled that money away. My daughter saved as much of her salary as she could. And one day we called, and there was room in the shelter. My husband went to work, and about an hour after he left, we packed up and went. I didn't go to college. I went directly from my parents' house to my husband's house. I graduated high school, but I'd never lived in a dorm or in any kind of communal setting. And neither had my daughter. She had done exactly what I had done. I wasn't really sure what living in a shelter was going to be like, but it was a beautiful house in a nice neighborhood with people I might never have met otherwise. But we had our own room. I had my own room, and my daughter had her own room with her kids. And I didn't sleep the first night. I didn't sleep the second night. But the third night I did, and when I woke up, I realized I wasn't afraid to go downstairs to breakfast. I didn't really feel very afraid at all. And so I started to think about legal stuff. My daughter did it first. Her husband wasn't smart enough to do it differently. He sent her emails threatening her, lots of pretty bad ones. And so she was lucky. She got an order of protection pretty quickly and custody of the kids. He got to talk to them on the phone, but that was all. I wasn't sure things were going to be that clear cut with my husband, and he wasn't doing anything that would have done that. So I just avoided going to places I knew I might run into him. Well, my daughter had a job, but I needed a job. Well, I was 50 years old. And for the last 25 years, my husband had told me I had no skills. Nobody would want me. What would I do? How could I possibly think I could ever take care of myself? And then I'm standing at the bus stop one day with my grandchildren. And the bus driver says to me, "Hey, can you drive a car?" "Yeah, of course." She goes, "They're looking for bus drivers in the district. They're desperate for them. Why don't you go apply?" And so I did. And I took the class I needed to, and I passed, and I got a job as a bus driver. And we even traded that route, so I got to take my grandchildren to school and bring them home every day. So now I had a job after thinking for years that I wasn't going to be able to. Well, we're still living in the shelter and not really able to imagine how we're going to get out of there, because there's no affordable apartments anywhere in this county, at least none that we could find. But luckily, we didn't have to worry. We stayed at the shelter and started applying for housing. And while we did that, that group that Anna taught classes with, the Soroptimists, they had the Hope and Power group, and both my daughter and I went. We didn't have to worry about the kids. They got dinner, they were taken care of, and we had time to ourselves. I have to think about the concept of paying myself first, about having money of my own, of having control over my own life, and it was pretty exciting and daunting at the same time. Well, we started to save, and we saved, and we applied to housing programs, and then Wellspring has their own housing program. They have a rapid rehousing program, and it was completely full when we were in the shelter. And then a family moved. They moved out at the end of their year. And we got to move in. And I remember what it felt like at this point. We're a year into this journey, almost. I got to think, I can decorate this house any way I want. I can paint it whatever colors I want. I can invite friends over whenever I want. I can do whatever I want. It was such a heady experience. So I decided to file for a divorce. Woo-hoo, boy, that was a hard one. I spent a lot of time on the phone with my advocate saying, "Am I doing the right thing?" She never told me if I was or wasn't. She just said, "You're going to have to talk to the attorney. you can make this decision on your own. You've made all these other decisions. My daughter had already filed for divorce and it had gone through uncontested. Her husband was tired of fighting. Mine was tired of fighting, but he didn't want to let go of a penny. So it took a while, but by the end of the second year, I was divorced and living in an apartment next door to my daughter, living in an apartment with her two kids. We were still talking to our advocates at Wellspring. We were still sometimes frozen in fear about how people treated us. I know I had a boss at work who reminded me a lot of my husband, and I had a hard time with that. My advocate kind of talked me through, where was I in that, and what did I want to do? And at that point, my daughter found a job at the hospital. If you were a CNA and you worked the right number of hours and for long enough, you could earn your LPN, which bumped up her salary. And then the school asked me if I wanted to be a lunch monitor in addition to a bus driver, which bumped up my salary. And so about 2.5 years into this journey, we were independent. It was unbelievable. And I guarantee you it would never, ever have happened if it wasn't for Wellspring. I will tell you, in that time, my grandchildren wouldn't have had Christmas without Wellspring. They might not have had birthdays without Wellspring, at least for that first year, because there wasn't any money for that. But every single time we ran into what I thought was a roadblock, I mean, there were times when I thought, I cannot juggle one more ball in the air. My advocate, or my daughter's advocate, would say, well, you don't have to do it all by yourself, and you don't have to do it all right away. Slow down. You know, you were where you were for a long time. You've gotten to where you are pretty quickly. And they're always right. And so now we're having this conversation because I want you to understand what Wellspring means to me, but what it means to the larger community. Because if they can do this for me, they definitely can do it for other people.
This podcast is hosted by Wellspring, a nonprofit in Saratoga County, New York that works every day to support survivors and engage the community to end relationship and sexual abuse. If you or someone you know have additional questions or need support around relationship abuse, sexual assault, or anything discussed in this podcast, please reach out 24/7 to our hotline at 518-584-8188.